grew up in an interesting family. You've heard me tell the stories of 58 first cousins and a sister. So there were 60 of us at one point. You've heard me tell, I'm loud to this day because if you weren't, you got left behind. I was among the first girls born in the middle of a whole bunch of boys. I was the short one in my family. And so it was a family where you learned to use your girth, where you learned to use your voice, and where you learned to take risks. In fact, my father was fond of saying, better an oops than a what if. He would look at you in the midst of being in the tall trees of these boy cousins who were trying things, and I wasn't sure, and he'd look at me and say, better an oops than a what if. Go ahead, try it. And so I learned to take a chance. I learned in that household that taking a chance was what was going to show me who I was and what I was made of. I learned that taking a chance was sometimes going to cause me to fall flat on my face or get me in trouble, like the time I put on a Superman cape and went out the second floor window at the encouragement of a cousin, thinking I could fly. Because Superman could and Supergirl could. Had on the pajamas and the whole nine yards. Taking a risk can be risky. Taking a chance can be challenging. And we don't want to take chances because we don't know if the thing we will try will have a good or a bad result. That's the chance we take. But I have come to understand that when we lift up so that we can see our Advent word for today, when we lift up peace, we have no choice in our world but to take a chance. And yes, I know it's risky. And yes, I know they're hard. And yes, I know when you're a single individual and it looks like the world is spinning off its axis, when it looks like war will not cease in certain places, and when it looks like violence on the streets of Chicago will not stop. And even in Palatine this morning, if you watch the news, people came out of their homes and there was a body no longer filled with life. It looks like peace has no chance, and we don't want to take a chance. Because we might fail. But we have no choice. And I found an extraordinary teacher this day. I have a 4-minute lecture that I want you to listen to. It is a lecture on taking a chance.
One day I got a chance. It just seemed to show up. It acted like it knew me, as if it wanted something. I didn't know why it was here. What do you do with a chance? I wondered. It fluttered around me. It brushed up against me. It circled me as if it wanted me to grab it. I started to reach for it, but I was unsure and pulled back. And so it flew away. I thought about it a lot. I wished I had taken my chance. I realized I had wanted it, but I still didn't know if I had the courage. When another chance came around, I wasn't so sure, but I decided to try. I went to reach for it, but I missed and fell. I was embarrassed. I felt foolish. It seemed like everyone was looking at me. I decided I never wanted to feel this way again. So after that, whenever a chance came along, I ignored it. And the more I ignored them, the less they came around. Until one day, I noticed that I hadn't seen a chance in quite a while. It was as if they had all disappeared. I started to worry. What if I don't get another chance? I know I acted like I didn't care. But the truth was, I did. I still wanted to take a chance, but I was afraid, and I wasn't sure if I would ever be brave enough. Then I thought, maybe I don't have to be brave all the time. Maybe I just need to be brave for a little while at the right time. I realized it was up to me. I promised myself that if I ever got another chance, I wasn't going to hold back. If I got another chance, I was going to be ready. Then one seemingly ordinary day, I saw something shining far off in the distance. Is it possible? I hoped. Could this be my chance? I had to find out. I ran as hard and as fast as I could toward it. I don't know how to explain it, but the second I let go of my fears, I was full of excitement. It wasn't that I was no longer afraid, but now my excitement was bigger than my fear. As I got closer, I could see that this was a really huge chance. But this time I was ready. As it came by, I reached out and grabbed it. I held on with all my might. It felt so good to soar, to fly, to be free. I now see that when I hold back, I miss out. And I don't want to miss out. There's just so much I want to see and do and discover. So what do you do with the chance? You take it, because it just might be the start of something incredible.
Take a chance. Take a chance because it might be the start of something incredible. Pope Paul said, "Do not be afraid to take a chance on peace, to teach peace, to live peace. Peace will be the last word in history." Beloved, for us, it's not a chance when we work for peace. For us, it's not a chance because it's who we are. Did you hear what Dr. Hennigan read? "Blessed are the peacemakers. They are the children of God." If you call yourself a child of God, who you are deep in your soul is this place of peace. If you are a child of God, it's who you are to move into the world and make peace. It's no mistake when Jesus came back from the resurrection in the Gospel of John and he met his disciples in that locked upper room when they were so afraid of moving out into the world for fear of their lives. The first thing he says is peace. He says it twice to them. He says peace to them because he knows that they need peace in order to move out into the world and to teach others to be at peace. To work for peace, if you are a Christian, is not to take a chance. It's to live into who you are meant to be. And to seek and work for peace is a part of our assignment. That long peace, that beautiful peace that we heard read from Romans this morning, it talks about the mark of a true Christian, to not be haughty, to live with one another, to not repay evil for evil. And at the end it says, as much as lies within you, to live at peace with all. It's our task. It's our assignment. It's how we look different than the rest of the world. When the rest of the world is full of fury and light and movement that seems out of control, when we stand in a place of peace, we look different and look attractive. The world is longing for peace. It's who we are, and it is our assignment, and it's within our ability. Don't confuse that text from John 14 that you heard read. It's part of something called the farewell discourse. It's part of Jesus's last speech to his disciples who are gathered around them. And they're worried because he's told them that he's about to leave. But he says to them a little earlier than what we heard read, "I will not leave you orphans. I will send the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit. And this Holy Spirit, this gift that I give you, will infuse you My peace I give to you, not as the world gives. What he's talking about when he speaks about that peace is the presence of the Spirit. I, in my flesh, in my human nature, am given to be worried. I'm given to be anxious. It was so odd, Steve, when you read, "Be anxious for nothing," you looked directly at me. I can be anxious, but it is the power of the Holy Spirit in me, a power that is beyond anything I can understand, a power that is beyond anything of this world, that comes and says, "No, daughter of God, you may be at peace. In the midst of the storm, you may be at peace." I told this story in Sunday school this morning, but I must tell it again. My mother was born in 1921. She was from Mississippi, and she had some real fears, and one of them was thunder and lightning. And when we would have bad storms, she would gather us together, usually in the, we used to call it the front room. In the front room, she made you take bobby pins out of your hair because she thought they would conduct electricity. She did. And you couldn't talk on the phone because electricity could come through the phone, so you couldn't talk on the phone. But we would sit with storms raging, she and her two daughters. And she would tell stories, and every time it would lightning, she would make us sing, "I heard the lightning flashing, I've seen the thunder roll." You had to sing it really fast because it lightninged a lot. You had to sing it every time. But she made of it this place of safety. No matter how the winds were whirling around, we could be in this place because, one, we were with our mom, and two, she made it safe. She made it peaceful. She made it fun no matter what was crashing out there. That's the promise and the gift of the Spirit, that when it comes in us, when it fills us, even in the midst of travail, we can find peace. Beloved, we don't take a chance on peace. When we work for peace, we step into the role that God has given us. And we have to understand what this peace is. In the biblical text, it does not mean the cessation of conflict. It does not mean the absence of noise and trouble. It means something so much deeper. The Holy Spirit comes to bring for us this completeness, this, excuse me, this soundness, this welfare. It comes to bring for us this security and this safety. And it comes to bring for us a prosperity and an enoughness that says, no matter what it seems, that by virtue of knowing you are in the hand of God, by virtue of knowing that God surrounds you, even when it looks as if things are falling apart, the peace that passes all understanding, that peace comes to us, is in us, is for us, is a gift. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives. It cannot be taken away. But the little lecturer taught us much about taking a chance, and in this case, a chance for peace. He teaches us that it's hard, and sometimes it feels like we failed. And when those moments of failure come, when we've not been able to affect peace, when we've not been able to share it, like he, we might fold our arms and say, "I'm not going to try that again. I tried to help in this situation. I tried to bring peace, and I fell on my face, and I was embarrassed. And so I refuse to try again." But here's what happens when the Holy Spirit is in you. It will not let you rest. It will rise up and remind you who you are, and remind you that for which you work, and to remind you that which is your gift. And like our little lecturer, it will remind us that maybe we can get another chance at peace. And this time, when we seek to go after that peace, our excitement will overcome our fear, because we'll feel the excitement that comes from knowing God has said, "You are my peacemakers. You are the ones who go out in the world." We'll feel that opportunity, and we know we won't have to be brave all the time, just like he said, but we have to be brave right now, and we have to reach and try. That little lecturer had much to teach us about taking a chance for peace, because our world needs peace. Pope Paul said it, it will be the last word. And when people have peace, then they can operate and move in directions. Once they have peace, then they have enough space to encounter the darkness and the lightning and the difficulties. Once they have peace, they can stand solid and move out and do the things that we are called to do. Beloved, we have to take a chance on peace, and it starts with us. Our closing hymn will say, let peace begin with me. Let this be the moment now. The reason I love that closing hymn is because each time we sing it or simply say the words, it almost doesn't matter what has happened in the past. It reminds us to say, let it begin with me in this moment. No matter the times I've ignored my chances before, no matter the times I've crossed my arms and said, I'm not going to take a chance on peace. Let this be the moment now. With every breath I take, God, fill me, and the intake of the breath, fill me with the Spirit, so this might be my solemn vow. How do we make peace? We start with ourselves. Beloved, some of us in here simply have to make peace by letting go of the things that hold us back. I dare you to make a list of 3 outlandish things that you think you will do in your life and let go of 2 of them. And feel the peace. I remember when Pastor Gene will tell you we graduate from seminary and we have these dreams. We just know we're going to conquer the world. People will flock to hear us. Why not? And for those of you who've been here as long as I have, you remember the first year when we counted 30 people on Sunday. We were ecstatic. It felt like the dream had, but God knew what God was up to. So when I stopped anointing these pews, which I used to do every first Sunday and ask God to fill them, when I stopped doing that, because God told me one Thursday in this space, as I was anointing one of these 2 pews, stop praying for large numbers and start praying to deepen the people you have. And all of a sudden, purpose shifted. And the way in which I saw God's peace breaking out shifted. Sometimes to be at peace, it's to let go of some of the things that are holding us back. And sometimes to be at peace with self is to love yourself. God's great commandment is love God and then you. To love yourself, to look in the mirror every morning and say, you are some of God's best work. And believe it. When you have failed, when you have screwed up, when you have purposefully sinned, to come to that same mirror and say, God, you know who I am and what has happened, and I come to you because I know you love me. Help and forgive me and let it go. To be at peace with yourself is not to hold all that baggage of all the years that have passed, but to say your mercies are new. Every morning, great is your faithfulness in me. And believe it. We have to be at peace with self, because if we're not at peace with self, it's difficult to offer peace anywhere else. God, let me be at peace with who I am, with what I am, with where you have me. Show me, God, what it is you would have me do. But in this moment, let me know that you are at work in me. If there's something you want to change, if there's something you want to shift, yes, God, I'm available. But I want to be at peace in your presence, at peace in my body, at peace in the world, so that I can serve you in the ways that you would call me to serve. How do we make peace? We start with self. And then we do move to the other. Beloved, here's the Christmas gift I want from you. I want you to pick one person, just one, who vexes your nerves. Maybe they shouldn't live in your house. That could be too hard. No, I'm not telling you to kick them out. But pick one person in the world that you see from time to time. And for the rest of Advent and through the beginning of the new year, whenever you see them, before they can vex you, pray for them. Whenever you see them, before they can get on your last nerve, say, this is God's child, and I'm going to seek to find the one thing in them that God is pleased with. And then I'm going to celebrate that. I am not saying you will transform your relationships, but I am saying you can find that one way to be in their presence and be at peace. And then as we think about those beyond our circle, when we look at the newspaper, when we look at the evening news, when we pick up the magazines that we read, make it your habit to pick one thing in that news source, one thing in that magazine, one thing in that radio program, and say, that's what I'm going to pray about today. This one thing that has nothing to do with me, that may never come close to touch me, but nonetheless, because I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of your prayers, that's the thing I'm going to pray for. Lord, let it begin with me. Let it begin with me. Beloved, nobody can make you take a chance. Just like our little lecturer, we can turn our back. We can ignore the chances for peace. Just like our little lecturer, we can decide that being safe is better than being courageous. Being without embarrassment is better than being brave and taking a chance. Just like our little lecturer, we can sit by the side of whatever river or road and watch our chances go by. Or we can choose to believe that God's Spirit does equip us. We can choose to believe that this is our calling, that we are peacemakers as children of God. We can choose to believe that we can live peace.